Hello, everyone. Robert B. from Montreal. Glad to be here. Thank you, Bridget. You know, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I don't tend to find myself asked to speak that often. It just so happens that I have spoken out for, I'm speaking now for a second time in a fairly short period of time. So it feels kind of odd in a way, as if, oh, here I am going to repeat myself, you know. But so, you know, I was thinking like, what should I say today? And what I find is I usually seem to tend to dwell in the sort of the darker part of addiction. When I tell, you know, my story, I talk about my family and how destructive alcohol was in the family and pretty much destroyed my parents', you know, marriage and killed my brother. And you know, I got into all sorts of trouble and I got in trouble with the law and so on and so forth. So, but I think that sometimes I don't put enough emphasis on the fact that I'm glad that I'm here and that I'm sober. And I am grateful for that because I spent a hell of a lot, large part of my life drunk. You know, I'm like in my mid 60s now. And I started drinking, I guess, as a teenager. And I took a lot of other drugs as well. And so I drank, I mean, you know, from that age, late teenager up until, well, I tried to quit a few times. In my 40s, I tried to quit. And I went to an outpatient program. I spent a year there. And that seemed to work pretty good. But as soon as I finished, I didn't have a very good plan in place for what I would do afterwards. And I ended up going back to my, you know, my old drinking buddies and thinking I could hang out with them and drink soft drinks or something, which was pretty idiotic now that I think about it. So I pretty quickly got back to drinking again. And before I knew it, I was back to, you know, where I was before. In my 50s, I was still drinking regularly every day, at that time, that's when my brother actually became quite ill from cirrhosis of the liver, and he was hospitalized and institutionalized, and I spent a lot of time with him, and it was very difficult, and he eventually died from it, but it was a really hard time. And then I really started to drink heavily at that point, and I think I was just in such a sort of a morose state, and you know, I really just couldn't deal with what had happened, and I just wanted to drink myself into oblivion, which I kind of was doing. At the same time, I still was working and somehow and able to keep that going. And as well, I was playing music at the time in a band. And I used to go to these jams. And I went to a jam one night, and I got pretty drunk. And I got arrested on the way home for my second DUI in my lifetime. And you know what, as much as that caused me a great deal of anguish and money, in the end, I think it kind of saved me from myself, because as a result of the DUI, I had to take some steps, and I had to, you know, really get serious about my sobriety, which at that point was pretty out of hand. And I mean, the drinking was, and I had to show the authorities that I was serious about sobriety, and, you know, I wanted my license back. And the only way I was going to get it back was if I took, you know, the steps required, which included getting help, doing some, and also showing them that I was willing to join a program, and then after that program that I would do what was available, and I figured, well, that would be AA. So I went back to AA, which I'd been in before in my 40s, I guess it was. I tried it, it didn't stick with me, because I couldn't really deal with the you know, the religious side of it, and I thought the people there were kind of culty, and it wasn't for me. I didn't like hearing the kind of things I was hearing, and like, I do have a background. I studied in psychology and social sciences, and so I have some understanding of these kind of things. And for me, it didn't make sense that people were mixing religion and ways to, you know, try to remain sober. I didn't get it at all. Funny thing is, after years of thinking about it, I do sort of realize now that for those that are inclined and who have faith, I guess it's a really powerful way for them. So I don't knock it. I don't judge it. It's just something that didn't work for me. Anyhow, so I left AA at that time. But when I went back later on, again, I was in traditional AA. And again, I was struggling with, you know, the religious part side of things. And I would struggle, and I would try to tell myself, well, look, it works for them. So, you know, leave it alone. Don't get bothered by it. And, but I would get bothered, and I would hear people, you know, say the things they would say, and then I would want to like say, what are you talking about? That's crazy. And I'd have to, you know, stop myself from doing that, because I figured it wouldn't sit well with the others. And the odd time I would say, you know, kind of like sheepishly almost, well, you know, I'm not really religious. And I certainly don't think that God is in the business of saving people from drinking. So, you know, I have to do it some other way. And I came to the realization that just by being a part of the program and being around these people, it seemed to help. And I guess I'd learned that even when I first did my outpatient program, that I realized that being a part of something seemed to be enough for me to keep me on track, you know, because as soon as I left that and then was on my own, I lost it pretty quickly. So I realized that it was really important to be a part of something, which isn't easy for me in particular. I'm pretty at times kind of a moody person, and I feel as if I can be kind of antisocial, and it feels awkward at times to be in, especially a large group setting. Small talk isn't one of my strengths. So, you know, as much as I might feel awkward and even uncomfortable, at the end of the day, I keep telling myself, and I believe it truly, that I do need to be with people that are, you know, striving to the same end, which is to say, stay sober. So this time around, it seems so far to be working quite well for me. I've been sober like 3 years. I had a relapse before that for about 6 months. And prior to that, I had been sober for 5 years. So I look at it and I think, well, so I've been sober for the most part of a decade, which is amazing when I think about it. You know, I mean, to think at one time that I was like many probably would have experienced, like, how can I get through this day without drinking? I mean, it seems crazy really to me now, but I don't underestimate it, because when I relapsed, it caught me out of nowhere. I didn't really have any, there was nothing that really seemed to me to, you know, was telling me that I was on that road to relapse. So I know that it's something that I should, you know, take seriously, that I have to keep on top of it, and that it could be dangerous if I let it slip. And, you know, especially if I was to, let's say, stop attending meetings or, you know, try to do it on my own, that would not work well. And I'm inclined to do those kind of things. So, you know, it's a struggle for me. I do like to stay isolate. And I mean, I spent a good part of my last drinking years, a couple of years anyway, drinking in isolation at home. Nothing I like better than having a full bottle of whatever it was, whiskey or vodka, and a pack of smokes. And I'd get on Netflix and just, you know, drink and smoke and be isolated. And it seemed fine at the time. But I know it's not. And so yeah, I'm pretty happy, you know, that I'm and I have to like try to appreciate it and to laugh, you know, to not always be such a grumpy, sober person that's kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know, in a bad mood for whatever reason, or thinking that, you know, negative thinking, it can get to me. And, you know, the world's kind of a pretty screwed up place, it seems, and people are all, you know, this and that. And anyway, just to just give it a break, you know, and just enjoy it for what it is, or try to. I have no idea how long I'm talking for, Bridget. So if you could.
You can go as long as you like.
Okay. Okay, well, you know, my coming to discover secular AA was a real blessing, haha. I had been wanting to start a secular meeting for a couple of years when we were still in person in Montreal, and we didn't have any secular meetings. But I was afraid to, you know, I was afraid. I didn't know how to get the word out. I didn't feel comfortable to open my mouth in the traditional meetings that I was attending, because I didn't think people would take it well. And it felt to me as if, you know, we were kind of like, it would be, people would take it badly, and they would hold it against me, kind of thing. They would be judgmental, I guess. And so I didn't really know how to go about it, and I was just too unsure of myself to go forward with it. And so then all of a sudden, I don't know how I discovered secular AA. I guess it had been around before, but it was only on Zoom that I somehow or other I got in touch with somebody who I'd known from the past, and he was talking about, you know, like he was interested in starting a secular AA meeting. And I said, yeah, me too. You know, I really always wanted to do that, but I just didn't know how to go about it. So he said, well, yeah, we can do it, you know, on Zoom. And he's a pretty outgoing guy. So he did most of the work, I have to say. And he got in touch with the Beyond Belief people in Toronto, and they were kind enough to help us out and to offer us some time on their Zoom account, which we still use now on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And so it was really pretty, it happened pretty easily, I have to say. And I'm really thankful to the people in Toronto for that. And to my friend, who unfortunately we had to sort of go our different ways because we seemed to struggle for some reason together. And anyway, but I'm really grateful that I had that chance with him, because that allowed me to have enough confidence to try to, you know, go forward with it. And so now there's all these, you know, secular Zoom meetings, and I'm just thrilled, because I think that's the direction that AA needs to go in. At least there needs to be that part of it that needs to exist, I think, for those that don't find the, you know, the faith healing side to work for them. And so I'm really happy about that. Whether we'll ever get it to the point where we go back in person or go in person, our group started on Zoom. I don't know if we'll ever be in person, but Zoom is pretty handy, I must say, and allows us to get all over the place and get to meet all different people from all parts of the world. So yeah, I guess I'll stop now, but just to say that I'm happy to be here, and I'm really happy I'm sober, and I hope you're all feeling good yourselves. Okay. I'm done. Thank you very much.